Gittin, Perikhei, Mishnah Base 5-2, and the Mishnah continues to discuss various Tikkunei HaOlam enactments the rabbis made for the general good, and the enactments of this Mishnah really come to limit the scope of what we said in the previous Mishnah to a great degree. It introduces the concept of Nechasim Mish'ubadim, encumbered properties. So the scenario is something like this. Let's say we have Reuven who owes money to Shimon. And we saw in the previous Mishnah that could happen in a variety of ways. Let's say one possibility is that Reuven broke Shimon's nose or broke his car. He's a mazik, and he has to pay from his idus, his best of his property. Or Reuven could have loaned money to Shimon, and then, borrowed money from Shimon, and then he just didn't pay it back. In which case, Shimon has recourse, to Reuven's benonis, his average good property. Now, in the event that Reuven goes and sells his property, so that doesn't mean that Shimon is not protected. Automatically, when Reuven has an obligation to Shimon, assuming that it's a publicly known obligation, as the language of Chazal talk about it, it has a kol, it has a voice, meaning the public could know about this obligation. So in the case of Hezek damages, that would always be the case. If Reuven punched Shimon and broke his nose, people would know about it, it's a public affair. If Reuven broke his car, broke Shimon's car, people know about it, it's a public affair. Or if Reuven borrowed money from Shimon with a contract and witnesses, like a milva bishtar, it's also public because it's a public known thing, they're witnesses and so on, as opposed to a milva, a loan made not with a contract, just a verbal loan, alpeh, just a verbal commitment, that would not be covered by this. But assuming that it's a public affair, there's a kol, so then, kufav lamed kol, so then even if Reuven goes and sells his property, the property remains encumbered, mish'ubad, like it has a lien, to make good on the obligations that Reuven had to Shimon. Which means that in the event that Shimon's saying, Reuven, you owe me money, Reuven says, well, I have no money, and I used to have a property, but I sold it to Levi, Shimon can go to Levi and say, listen, Levi, those are nechasim mish'ubadim, those are encumbered properties, and as much as Reuven owed me money when he sold it to you, and therefore I have like first lien, and you have to make me whole by giving back the property or some other way. So that's the case we're talking about over here. So the Mishnah says, while there is such a rule that nechasim mish'ubadim, encumbered properties, do always have an obligation first to whoever had a previous, to whomever the previous owner had an obligation, and that's a d'oraisa obligation. Truth is, nechasim mish'ubadim is like a d'oraisa concept. So here it's going to be limited. And the Mishnah here says, "Ein nifram nechasim mishubadim b'makom sheyesh nechasim b'nei chorin." Shimon doesn't have recourse to the encumbered properties that Levi purchased from Reuven, unless Reuven has no nechasim b'nei chorin. That literally means b'nei chorin are free men, but it means unencumbered properties. Meaning, if Reuven has some other property free and clear, so then Shimon has to go and collect from that property, and he can't go and collect from the property which is now in Levi's hands. Afilahin ziboris, even if all that's left in Reuven's hands is really grade C, poor quality property. So again, now mida oraisa, this concept of nechasim mishubadim always applies. The point of our tikkun olam here, this takana, is that in the previous mission we said, if Reuven was mazik Shimon, breaking his person, damaging his person, or damaging his property, so he'd have to pay from idis, the best of his property. If he had an idis property, which he sold to Levi, and it's a mishubad in truth, if he still has ziboris property, low-grade property that he owns free and clear, that Reuven owns free and clear, so then Shimon cannot go to Levi, even though we said previously it should go from the idis, get repayment, but here we're saying he cannot go to Levi to get repayment from the Idus if, in fact, Reuven still has some even ziboris land of his own, low-quality land of his own, that to protect purchasers like Levi. And again, that's true both for Hezek, which would entitle the victim Shimon to get from Idus, or a defaulted loan, a Lova, or Malva, I should say, the Malva Shimon can't get repaid, so he should get Beinonis. We said we'd raise the rabbi said we should raise it to Beinonis, so people shouldn't hesitate to give loans. But if there's any property at all still in the hands of Reuven, who owes the money to Shimon, we should collect from his property rather than go to Levi and take from him, because that would mess up Levi, and we don't want that to happen. Okay. Further says the Mishnah. Oh, by the way, a separate din that comes out of that, by the way, is if Reuven sold a series of properties, one after that after the other, so each time, like the sort of the liability shifts down, so ultimately, since it's like this before he sold his last property, that would be the one which should be there to pay off Shimon. So then if he sells that one also, Shimon only has recourse to the last one sold. And if that's not enough, then the second to last one and so on. Okay, same based on the same principle. Now, a separate din all to itself here, which is Ein nifrom menichse yesomim ele min haziburis, which means if Shimon now is owed money from Reuven, and Reuven died and left over his estate to his heirs, so Shimon cannot claim, cannot force the heirs to give from property other than from Ziburis. So what are we talking about over here? This is again a tikkun olam, it's a din derabana, but it's very limited. Now here's what's happening. A person's property stands, is encumbered to whatever he owes at the time of his death, so the heirs inherit not just the assets but also the liabilities, and therefore the land should have to be used to, it's encumbered and has to be used to pay back whatever the father who died, Reuven, owes to Shimon. The specific case of our Mishnah where we have a tikkun olam is as follows. In the event, any rational heir would say, would sell his, you know, his worst quality property and get the cash and give it to the, to Shimon who's asking for the money. That would be fine. Even if we have some din which would say that, fine. Like even remember, even if, let's say, for example, they had, let's say, some good and bad property, some Idis and Ziburis, so even if Reuven had been a Mazik and damaged, Shimon, and Shimon wants to collect from his Idis, so the heirs will say, listen, we can pay you cash, so we'll just sell our Ziburis and give you the cash. We want to keep the Idis for ourselves. But in the event that the heirs are children, they're Yesomim, they're minors, so you can't expect children to be able to negotiate a good price of what they inherited, and therefore to protect the heirs who are children, we say that any claims on in the inheritors, the heirs, have to accept ziburis, low quality property, and then go and deal with it themselves, and that's sort of to protect the children from getting being taken advantage of. And that's the tikkun olam. So that means, let me speak it out, there's a difference in terms of a mazik versus a malva, a nizik, a damaged party versus a malva, an unpaid, a lender who hasn't been paid back, a creditor. The difference is as follows. If we're talking about a nizik, a person who's been damaged, like his nose got broken, he wants to collect, for the medical bills, etc. So then that is an enactment to protect the children. Let them give him ziburis instead of what he wants. He wants idis, they can give him ziburis, and then let him, the nizik, deal with it himself rather than the children. In the event they were talking about a malva, a creditor, so really now me'ikar hadin, from the Torah already he has to accept ziburis, and there's not really a tikkun olam enactment here. The reason is as follows. As I said in the previous Mishnah, money is money and value is value, and if you owe someone money, medoraisa, you should be able to pay them back, whether it's with idis, benis, or ziburis. And therefore that's true for loans as well. If Reuven owed Shimon money because he borrowed and didn't pay back, he has to pay with whatever he can, and even ziburis should be acceptable in midoraisa. Midorabanan, they raised the bar, and they said, no, you have to pay back with bainanis so that people shouldn't hesitate to lend money. But now we're talking about heirs of the estate. No one, when he lends money, and normal people don't think, well, what happens if the person borrowing money from me dies and I have to collect from the heirs? And if I have to collect from ziburis, I won't make the loan. So since people don't think that way, when the rabbis made the enactment to say that creditors get from Beinonis, that didn't include to heirs of creditors. And that being the case, there's no obligation, midrabban, even for the heirs to pay with anything other than ziburis to settle the debts of their father. So that being the case, that would be me'ikar adin, they could pay with ziburis and not with, it's not some kind of tikkun olam that would allow for heirs, even children, minors, to pay a creditor of their fathers with ziburis.